Good morning, Roxy Soxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam.
How did you sleep last night?
You know what? This always happens to me, and I don't know if this happens to you. Tell me, but when I know I have to get up for something, I start waking up like 2 hours before my alarm goes off. And I'm like, oh gosh, I can't oversleep. I can't miss this. Like, so I started waking up at like 4:30 this morning.
But Roxy, you only had to get up at like 7.
No!
It's not like you had to get up at 6 or 5:30.
I got up at 6 because you know me, I'm a morning shower girl.
How? It takes you so, I love you so much, but it takes you so long to get out of the house. I don't even understand. I stayed with you for like a couple days in New York, and I was like helping you move a little faster to like get to your lip gloss. Like, what is going on?
Because I like to have a little chat in between putting on my makeup.
With yourself, like, though. Doing... Like, I wasn't even around. I'm like, what? She'll sit there and she'll be like, she'll just look at her bag, like her makeup bag, for like at least a couple minutes, and then she'll be like, pink MAC lipstick.
I'm like, must start the process.
I know. I'm actually pretty good with time for someone.
Yeah, you're really on time.
On time, all the time.
I'm always late. Always late.
But it's gotten better.
Yeah, it's gotten better. I would say like...
Five minutes late. You're always five minutes late.
Always. You know you're going to have a 5-minute buffer.
I have started to lie to you.
About times we have to be?
Huh? I've started to be like, okay, if we have to be there at 8:30, I'm going to tell you we have to be there at 8:15.
And it gets me there, right? I get on
time. You're still late. I don't know why. I'm just like, I think it's because you probably see the time and you know that I'm lying to you.
I'm like, I better hold off on leaving for another 20 minutes just to be sure.
If I have dinner with you, I am going to say it's 30 minutes early.
Are you really? You're like, the reservation is for 7 when it's really for 7:30.
But at least it's not too bad. At least people would just be like, rather than like, oh, this is such a problem. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, I got to make my entrance. Yeah. I got to make my entrance.
You do. What's my thing then?
Your thing is your toxic.
She's like, ready. She's like, here's a list.
Is it your toxic trait? Are we talking toxic traits?
Well, just one thing that like.
Let's not go that deep.
I was like, let's not go that deep. What's one thing that's annoying? We're really getting it on.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
One thing that's annoying.
She's like, I thought you would have had like 5 by now.
Oh boy.
I annoy myself. Okay.
What annoys you about yourself?
Depends on the time of the month, but I can be a little micromanagey because I don't fully trust that the person's gonna do it the way I want it to.
Okay, there you go. Yep.
It's just like, you said it perfectly. So I do, I'm aware of it, thank God. Like, I think awareness is the first step. But because I feel like the only success I've ever had in my life is me.
Yeah.
Is me figuring it out, or like even social media and content creation, I'm the one who writes it. I'm the one who edits it. I'm the one who acts in it. Mm. And so like if I give it over to someone else, it's just not really my vision. And then I end up redoing it.
But
so,
I will say you're getting better about it. You're easing up a little bit.
I have glasses on right now. I would never have a year ago worn glasses in this episode.
No, you're good. You're like, you know what I've noticed, and I meant to tell you this. You have been like better. I feel like letting control go a little bit.
Like, not fully.
A little bit, but it must feel a little bit more at ease for you.
No, it feels horrible. So I hate it. I love control.
But you know that it's going to be done, and it's going to be done well no matter what.
I don't know if it's going to be done well.
You're in good hands.
But I do have to accept. There's things I have to accept because it's not worth it. And also my time is valuable.
Right.
So like to have to redo things and to like get picky and micromanagey, I'm not giving myself the gift of time.
No. You can let things roll, as they say.
I can let
them roll, girl.
Well, our next guest is going to help us with the gift of time. Yes. Because I also realized that, and I don't know, so just tell me about your workspace, because my husband is crazy when it comes to everything being in its place, everything being organized. We even have Sundays where I go and take the kids out and he organizes the house. Did you know that?
Oh, no, that's great.
Yeah.
You trained him well, girl.
But then when I get home and it's not like fully done, I'm like, what have you done the whole time? He's like, it takes a long time to organize the kitchen. I'm like, it looks pretty similar.
Poor guy.
But he loves to do it. So it's not like I'm like taskmastering him, but I leave because he like wants that space. He finds it cathartic.
Yeah. It's like a nice activity for him to like let go and like kind of ease.
And so my stuff, like he sometimes goes and organizes my closet.
Does he really?
Yeah, he'll like, go spend hours in there.
Will he edit? Like take things
he
out?
He won't do so? That, but okay. He'll put like all my underwear and like he'll put drawers in there. He'll put like dividers. He'll put like my shirts in the one section. He'll fold things. Yeah, it's pretty good. Great. I mean, I don't know the last time he came to my house, but it's really pretty organized.
How much does he charge per hour?
You might have to give him a sexual favor, Roxy. Sure. But is your desk messy or neat? Because that's the sign of mental health.
Yes, totally. You know, it's interesting. So we have a weird system where, okay, so both my husband and I work from home and we kind of rotate. So we're both on laptops.
Yeah.
So one will maybe start in the dining room table and then the other one will start in the living room. And then we'll like throughout the day, depending on who has a conference call or who does, you know, has some sort of meeting, we'll move around the house. So we'll like flip, like one will go back to the dining room and then, but it's like funny when we're both on calls, we're like trying to hide from each other because it's so loud, you know, like he's on one, I'm on one, and I'm like trying to hide in the bedroom. So it is like kind of a mess in that sense. You know what I mean? Because
guys
like,
should get an office. Like, you know, there are places called WeWork. They're not sponsoring us, but they should. Like, there's a desk you could probably sit at. You can solve that problem.
I used to go upstairs and sit on the desk there, but I just think I got lazy going up the stairs. I was like, I think I'm just going to sit down here and like do it.
Well, maybe our next guest can help us figure out our lives because we definitely know we need it. She has a book called Make Space for Happiness, which is, again, you know, something that I think is really important. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that my happiness level completely raises when everything is organized. So who do we have on today, Roxy Soxy?
Ooh, well, we're so excited to have this next guest, as you mentioned. Like, we need her to declutter our lives. I mean, I can't wait to hear these tips, right? These tips are going to be amazing. We all need it. I know moms and, you know, working women and everyone listening always seems to need like tips for organization. You know, where do you start and where do you go? And so I know that this guest will have the answers, right? So let's welcome Tracy McCubbin.
Hello.
And we've tried to make this happen 3 times and I'm surprised that you're even here because you must hate us. We gave Tracy the wrong address yesterday.
It wasn't our fault, right?
It wasn't our fault. We can always blame someone else, right? But were you just sitting there going,
Yeah, you're like,
you know, I had a moment, but I always feel like I run my business this way in my life. Like there are can we swear on this show?
Yes.
Yeah. There are fuck ups all the time. Yeah. And it's not that the fuck up happened, it's how it's handled.
Right.
And you guys were super apologetic and you're like, this was just a mistake.
Right.
And I was like, great. And I went and had lunch with my niece and it was delightful.
And she got up at 5 a.m. to make it.
I know. And just 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
Today.
It wasn't even 10, it was 4.
I'm okay, 4. Okay, good, four. Good. 4.
It is, you're so right. It's the repair that's important, right? Because mistakes happen and you know, if people. I think the way everything is handled is the reason like people are successful or not.
I think so. I mean, I think like if you have a mindset like that, you do. You set yourself up for success, you know? And I think the organization part of it is so important because you're decluttering not only your space, but you're decluttering your mind, you know?
100%. And I always tell this to people. Being organized isn't about seeking perfection. Look, we look at Pinterest, we see all the pretty bins, we see the labels. That's aesthetically pleasing. But the way I approach it is your home is a tool and it's a tool to make your life run smoother and to like de-stress. And that's what being organized does. It's not about being right. It's not about being perfect. It's like, does this work for me?
Right.
So where do we even start, right? Like, where do you start in this process to like organize?
You know? It's sort of I call it the woo-woo step. I am a born and raised Californian, so I can't help it.
We're all a little woo-woo.
But the first thing I talk about with clients, I've been doing this for 17 years now, is why do you want to get organized? What's your why? And it can't be, well, I'm a bad housekeeper or I'm lazy or I'm, you know, it can't be something that you beat yourself up. It's like, well, I want to clean out my guest room so that my parents can come and stay. I want to get rid of half the toys so my kids aren't drowning in the playroom. I want to get rid of the outside storage unit. Because if you have a why that's a positive goal, it's going to keep you going. So it's always why.
But it's also like, I find it difficult I organize and I spend so much time organizing and then it just gets unorganized at some point.
Okay,
the consistency part is really difficult for me. Mm. And it's also based on like what's happening in my life and how stressed I am. Mm-hmm. But I feel so much better when things are organized, but it just doesn't last.
But here's the thing you have to remember. This is so important. Organizing is a process. It's like cleaning. Mm-hmm. Your house doesn't get cleaned once and stay clean. That's the thing. There's been, especially like in the last 10 years, there's like been a couple big organizers that are like, oh, you do it once and it's done forever.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You have children. Yeah. They come in like with Velcro, with like stuff stuck to them.
Yeah.
Where you're like, where did that come from? Yeah. So it's understanding, and also understanding that decluttering, organizing, and cleaning are three separate tasks.
Right.
And so if you know that you've got to be decluttering, organizing,
and cleaning
are three separate tasks.
What's different between decluttering and organizing?
Decluttering is getting rid of the stuff you don't need, want, or use. Mm-hmm. Organizing is making sure everything has a place, that there are systems, and then cleaning is cleaning.
Mm. Right.
So what do you do? Because I find myself also doing this, is I'll stand in my closet and I start cry. Doing one section, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then
it'll stop.
I'm like, yeah, and I stop and I'm like, oh my God, I'm feeling so overwhelmed. Like, it's like,
yes.
You start, because you look at the whole project instead of like, even if you start like in one place, you kind of look at the whole project and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be fucking awful. Mm-hmm. Like, so I get to a certain point of the organization and, you know, decluttering and cleaning, but then I'll stop and be like, I just can't do it anymore. Like, how do you keep yourself going?
Totally. So I think it's, you kind of have to figure out what sort of person you are. Like, I'm come from farmers. Like, I am like, I will work for 8 or 10 hours. Like, I roll up my sleeves. I'm not going to bed till it's done.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're like, I got a half an hour and then my ADHD kicks in and I'm off to something else. So you be realistic about the time that you have and parse it into chunks. So you're like, I lose my motivation. Okay, today I'm just going to do shirts. That's it. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow I'm going to do sweaters. Mm-hmm. Sunday I'm going to do jeans. Like, if you break it
That's how I do it.
Yeah, little
bits,
yeah.
Right?
I do little bits because I have anxiety and ADHD and I'll go, okay, I'm just going to do my makeup in the bathroom today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because like that's the only, that's as much as my brain can take on.
See, I feel the same. Like, I feel like if I look at it too, like as one big thing, I just am like, oh, I'm not going to do it. Or like, I can only, you know.
Right. I started doing these on Instagram, these 5-minute challenges where I was like, things to declutter in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. They blew up. And people DM me all the time. They're like, I've done I think there are 50 up now. They're like, I've done my whole house and I didn't realize it. Coffee mugs, underwear, pool toys, like just simple things.
Okay.
And they just, so if you're that kind of person, somebody's listening, like a big project overwhelms me, take a chunk. Just take a little chunk.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I feel like decluttering goes hand in hand with mental health.
1,000%. Right? 1,000%.
And I didn't know that until I really had a husband who was very into organizing. And now I'm kind of addicted to it. If he doesn't organize the house because he likes to do it and declutter the house on a Sunday, I can't start my week on a Monday. I do have issues, though, with getting rid of things. It's not that I feel like I'm going to need them, but I'm like, oh, this was the cup that I drank out of after I gave birth to my daughter.
The first sip
10 years ago in the hospital. And I want to just have that memory.
Yeah.
And I know that that's where hoarding comes from. It's like all these memories that people don't want to get rid of. I obviously am not that, but I find it hard to get rid of my kids' clothes, my little baby, the baby clothes.
So you said the magic words. You want to keep the memory. That's why you keep the stuff. It's actually, the stuff isn't important at all. You're like, I don't want to lose this memory. So there are ways, like, I don't say get rid of everything. Absolutely have some bins, have some memories. But if you live under this idea of like, I have to keep that because it was special. If everything's special,
I feel like nothing's special. Yeah. Like, but that's the problem.
But then nothing becomes special, right? Then you're sort of in this place where you are. And is there another way to do it? Can you write a journal? Can you write a timeline? You want to keep those memories, which we want you to have, but you don't need the hospital cup.
I know.
You want the moment.
My wardrobe has 95% of clothes in there that I will never wear. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. I'm a little, I'm coming to Nashville.
But I'm begging you, please. My husband's away for a while. Come, let's declutter my closet. And it's not a cluttered closet, but I know I will never wear any of that stuff. And I don't want to throw it away because I'm like, well, I spent, you know, back in the day, I used to spend really, you know, this stuff is expensive. When you see, like, I would never buy Chanel right now. Maybe I will in the future. But when I was, before I had kids, I would have like nice little Chanel bags, right?
Right.
I don't want to throw those away, but I'm never going to use them because they're really old and ratty now. So then I should guess I should sell them, but then you sell them for such a lower resale value than what they're really worth.
But let's unwind that a little bit.
You're like, let's fix it. Yeah.
We need to unpack this. So clothes, jewelry, that's a little bit tricky. Clothes, purses, shoes, furniture, they're not investments.
Yeah.
You buy them to use them. And you use them and you love them and and they go out of style. They're not, you're never going to recoup your money. You don't buy, they're diminishing assets. That's the mistake that people are like, well, I got to get my money back. And it's like, no, no, you chose to buy it.
Right.
You chose to spend a lot of money. You loved carrying it. Now I'll say with designer things, is it worth, like, I definitely do this, like, is it worth hanging on to them? Because you have two daughters. They may want them someday.
Yeah.
But if they're old and ratty and they're not repairable, you're just holding on to trash.
But what about, like, I totally agree with you. What about artwork? And we have, you would freak out when I told you that. So 2 years ago, we got rid of $1,000 a month in storage units that we were paying because of stuff. Because also our business, Roxy and I are in similar businesses for the most, for some of it. And we had given a lot of stuff too. And you're like, well, I don't want to throw away new, whatever it is, new shoes, new clothes, new. And we're very blessed and lucky that we get this stuff that's new. So I'm like, I don't want to throw it away. So we had $1,000 versus storage units, and now it's down to $350, like $350 a month on a storage unit. But most of the stuff in there is furniture and art, and it's like some of the art is incredibly, you know, to us important or valuable. And the furniture, I'm like, again, I'm never going to spend $3,000 on a light, right?
Yeah, right.
But I used to,
right?
So what do I do with the $3,000 light that I'm not going to sell?
You're buying, but you're also paying for it over and over again. You have to put your big girl pants on.
I can't.
You have to.
I don't want to put my big girl pants on. It's so easy to live in my small girl pants.
Baby pants.
There's this moment of like, you have to stand there and you have to say, I spent good money on this. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to use it again. I enjoyed it while I had it. Let me release it.
Okay, you're coming to Nashville.
Yeah. Yes. Because you go in this, you get in this like Mobius strip of like, I spent money and I can't, but I'm not selling it. So listen, the logic, right? You're like, I spent money on it, so I'm going to pay money to store it.
I know.
So you're buying it over and over and over again. And you just have to stop and
I'm
coming to Nashville. That's my ticket right now.
No, I'll pay for your ticket. You're coming to Nashville. Okay.
So what do we do? Because we, as you mentioned, we have kids, right? So we have three girls between us. With their stuff, because there's the toys, there's the clothes, and they get attached to things.
Like I call kids' rooms where hope goes to die. You just walk in, you're like, and then the toys are getting smaller and smaller.
Yes.
Like down, like Polly Pockets
like,
are
no.
big, and they're like, she's missing a shoe, and you're like, I can't even see it. Like how are you? You know, I think for kids, and it's parents say this to me all the time. They're like, you know, it's so hard to organize kids, and I'm like, is it? Because do you ever go to them to school? Because they're perfectly organized in school. Like they put all their toys away.
Right.
You know, I think it's never too soon to start the conversation about here's why we're organized. So you know where to find the things you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gives you independence. You don't have to, mommy, where's my? Mm-hmm. That's why we're organized, to find the things that we want. And also teach them like, you're very lucky. We all have more than we need. Mm-hmm. You've grown out of this. I haven't seen you play with this in 6 months or a year. There is some kid out there that would be so grateful for this.
We do that. We do that? We go through their rooms and we do keep and get rid of.
Yeah.
But are they emotionally attached to the toy?
Look, the keep is much bigger than the keep is much bigger than the get rid of. But they do give. Yeah, they do give away quite a bit.
Because I feel like I go in there and she's like, well, this is Grandma Kitty. This is like you know,
now I will. Dog,
this is
there's a great. Okay. How old is she?
She's 9.
Yeah, so that's an interesting age, right? Okay. She's just moving out of being a little kid. She's not a teenager yet. I do sometimes. We have a warehouse where we sort through all our clients' donations to give them away, and we have a rack of clients who are like, can you take all these stuffed animals? Don't get rid of them yet. Text me in 2 months. If she hasn't asked for them, then we're going to let them go. So sometimes an interim step, put it all in a bin, put it in the garage, see if they ask for it.
That's a good idea. That's sometimes we have just gotten rid of, we know their favorites. It's like Porcupine and, you know, Birdie they play with all the time. So you're not going to get rid of them. Yeah. But you know the ones that they haven't looked at.
Like
know?
The one they
but
got you, from the fair.
But then inevitably they come to you. Then the minute
they'll like, you get rid of it, they'll be like,
where's
my Grandma the Bear?
But it's a great place for a conversation. Uh-huh. You have more than you need. You have so many toys that you're actually not playing with them. Mm-hmm. And especially, I always suggest decluttering with kids ahead of birthdays and holidays because new stuff is coming in and you can say like, look, you're gonna, you know, Nana and Poppy are gonna send you a bunch of gifts, like you're gonna get stuff, let's look at the stuff you don't play with.
Why are we, and this goes to the ultimate question, why are we so obsessed with stuff? Is it just America? Is it just like or these certain countries where we value stuff so much and consumerism and, you know, capitalism, and is that what is ingrained in us? Because I know when I went to Bali and Indonesia for weeks, they weren't holding on to stuff.
No, and also you traveled for weeks and you like didn't think about anything you had at home, right? You had a suitcase and you were like,
and I always say I'm going to pack light.
Never happens.
And then we came back with seven bags. I don't even know what we left with 3, came back with 7. I'm like, I don't want to be that person.
So it's a couple things. It was after like kind of with the start of the Industrial Revolution, right? And then all of a sudden there used to be a very different of class, like upper class, lower class, and then became the advent of middle class. And all of a sudden people were like, oh, to show I'm not poor, I'm going to buy things. Knickknacks, Lalique, Hummel figures, precious memories. I have stuff, which means I'm not poor. And then the capitalism stepped in and said, oh, we can keep selling to you. Oh, wait, now we can send it off to Asia and, you know, overseas to make it cheaper. And now we're going to sell it to you even cheaper. And we're going to start. And now then add advertising on top of it, then add social media, which is 24-hour marketing, which is telling you you're not enough. You know, you need an anti-aging cream. I want a moment with that word. I just have to say this. I'm like, the opposite of anti-aging is dead. Don't you want to be aging? Like, so we're being marketed to, and they're playing on our insecurities, and they're playing on our things that we hate about ourselves. And we're exactly in that cycle. Buy, buy, buy. This thing I buy will fix my problems.
And it never lasts, that high that 17, I keep buying.
17 seconds. So this is super interesting. So interesting. I'm talking about nerding out. So we, by nature, humans are hunters and gatherers. So when we were on the tundra, or, you know, someone's going to at me about we were never on the tundra. And I'm like, the place that we were before we lived in houses. You know, if we were walking and we found a pear tree full of pears, we got a huge hit of dopamine to tell us to pick those pears, save them for the winter. We have not evolved out of that. So now when you go to Target, you get the same hit of dopamine as if you'd killed a woolly mammoth. You're like, I'm saving my family for the winter. But it only lasts for 17 seconds. Wow. So then you're like, well, I want to get that feeling again, so I need to buy again.
And if you just wait, I do notice that if I just wait, where was I recently? Oh, World Market is the most incredible place in America.
It's pretty great.
It's all so great. And there's so much. There's Christmas stuff out now. Yeah. And there's like a tea advent calendar. And there's like a cookie advent calendar. I'm like, I need all the advent calendars. And I did buy something small. If you wait, so maybe it wasn't, I felt like longer than 17 seconds.
Yeah.
I feel like I really had to go through it for 5 minutes. But you're saying if you get through it for that 17 seconds, then you won't end up just buying.
Exactly. And also check in with yourself. Like, what's going on in that moment? I recently went shopping with a very complicated family member. Mm. This family member is very complicated. All the triggers, all the activation, mm-hmm. all the things. And I found we were on a shopping trip, which mm-hmm. we've done historically forever. And I just bought. I got in my car and I opened the bags and I was like, I have a shopping hangover. I bought stuff I didn't want. Mm-hmm. Half of it was final sale. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, because this relationship is fraught for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do the work before I walked in here. I didn't say, this is going to be a hard day. Shopping's not going to fix it. Mm-hmm. So I just kept slapping down the credit card and I was like, what am I? So I think when we go into those moments, am I tired? Am I overwhelmed? Mm-hmm. Am I feeling guilty that I'm not with my kids enough? Where am I at? Mm-hmm. And reminding myself that buying something's not going to fix it.
Mm. What about people who are actually, I mean, diagnosed hoarders?
Like, yes.
With this condition, like, if somebody at home is listening, like, first of all, how do they know if they are a hoarder and what steps should they take? Or if it's maybe a family member, how do they help these people?
So I'm the child of an extreme hoarder.
Really?
Yeah, I've grown up with it my whole life. So
why you became a declutterer?
Well, funny, I didn't realize it till I'd opened my business for 10 years. And then
ding, ding, ding.
yeah, exactly. A client of mine who was a Jungian psychiatrist was like, oh, you took your psychic wound and turned it into your passion. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Wow.
I was like, what? What are you talking about? So if anyone out there is listening, first of all, I am a resource, TracyMcCubbin.com. Please reach out. You know, the great thing about hoarding disorder is an anxiety disorder. So it's usually what people are doing to manage emotions. Mm-hmm. And there's really successful therapy for it. Cognitive behavior therapy, which isn't even like talk therapy. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple tests online that you can take to see where you come on the scale, mm-hmm. you know, but some of the things are the rooms in your house that you can't use for your intended mm-hmm. use. Do you not invite people over? You know, there's some things like, can you sleep in your own bed? Can you do you have pathways? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of help. And I'm happy if someone's worried about this, please, please, please. I want to like hug everyone. Reach out to me because mm-hmm. I have a lot of resources and understanding that it is a mental health problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People aren't choosing to be that way.
It feels so shameful for people too. When I watch that show called Hoarders, it's just, you know, the first response could be like, oh, that's disgusting or that's so gross. But to not clean and have rats and
do you know how much pain those,
I mean,
do you know how much
severe pain
severe pain
and they're in tears
and they don't want to be that way. It's very, I mean, the way I feel like it's an addiction, you know, they're in the grips of it and they don't want to be that way and they're so shameful. And you know, glamorizing it as much as that show does, it doesn't help. It's like understanding that this is a mental health issue and there's help out there.
When you say you came from a home of extreme hoarding, like was it?
I never lived with him. He and my mother split up when I was very young, but we were forever sort of chasing storage units. And so it's been, you know.
So sad.
And for me, it was always, I had to get to a place of understanding and Al-Anon meetings helped with this, even though alcoholism wasn't the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't choose it.
Right.
I always felt like he was choosing trash over me.
Right.
And when I realized, oh, this is not by choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It gave me, it's, you know, still frustrates me, though. But liberating. Right. Yeah. Like when you realize that, like, people aren't choosing to be alcoholics.
Right.
It's
and
a disease.
It's not your fault. Too,
it's not right? your fault.
Especially
if I'd been better,
child,
different
right.
somehow. Right. So, yeah. So I really understand the pain that people mm-hmm. are in. And also, I want to also say this to those of listening who are perhaps in the sandwich generation, kids and aging
right here,
parents.
It's us. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that
it's really difficult.
Sometimes with older people, it'll look like hoarding, mm-hmm. But they're either, it's a neurological thing, they're kind of aging, they can't do what they used mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they just need extra help and it's not necessarily hoarding right. disorder.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes too, my parents, so we have been in this, my house in Australia, I mean, my house in Australia that I lived in since I was 13 years old, and now I'm in my late 30s, they are selling their house.
Wow.
And they've gotten
rid of. Do I go to Australia? Yes. After I go, Nashville, Australia. Got
Yeah. They've actually been pretty good. They've gotten rid of like so much stuff. Mm. But I can understand too. I have to be careful not to be like, well, what's the problem? It's so easy to get out of that house. I mean, there's so many deep memories in that house for them. That is, there is a mourning period.
Is it hard for them to let go of stuff?
My mom frames it differently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she'll be like, well, I don't know if I should put the house on the market this month or wait till the next year. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And I feel like it's because of the fear of really letting go of the house. The house needs to go. Like, it's at a point where let's get rid of the house. They need to downsize and actually enjoy their lives. Right. They're in their 70s.
And I think it's also, I so agree that there needs to be a grieving period and that grieving is healthy.
Yeah.
And for people who are downsizing, it's also they're facing their mortality.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're 70 now. We have 20 great years left, 10, 15 great years. We want to go enjoy them, but we're saying goodbye to a life.
I know.
Right.
I really think that I love, like, you know, just taking a moment and understanding. And a friend of mine's parents just did this and they had a last party.
Yeah.
You know, they had a party when the house was empty and had everybody come and tell stories of like the kids who'd grown up in it. And
that's so lovely.
And I think having some kind of ceremony around it.
That's interesting.
And understanding your parents are changing too.
Yeah.
You know, you always look to your mom and dad, or at least I did, as the people who always had the answers. Mm-hmm. And they were always the strong ones. And they were always the ones that would know what to do in times of crisis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, when you see them aging, you realize like you have to deal with their mortality as well, not just them. Mm-hmm. And then you also have children who are so – they need you so much to be like their strength. And you don't feel very strong when you're in the middle.
You're spent.
You have nothing to give. You're worrying both directions. Yeah. Worrying both directions. And I think exactly that you you know, you always look to them for the strength. Mm-hmm. And that's why we want to keep the stuff, because we want to remember. You know, we want to know – I've been doing this for 17 years. I don't even know. I did the Malcolm Gladwell hours, and I'm like, I have like 30,000 hours of decluttering under my belt.
I have two.
Yeah.
My husband has maybe 102.
Well, but we want to know that we mattered. We want to know that we lived this life and we made a difference. And so we think if we keep the stuff, that shows it. But I always say, it's your actions.
Right.
Who are you in the world? How did you make the world better? How were you kinder? How were you nicer? Mm. How were you of service? Mm. That's what leaves your legacy, not the stuff.
Yeah. Mm. That, honestly, I wanted to cry because we so want to feel seen. We don't want to feel invisible. And our stuff makes us feel like we were here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you don't have stuff from, you know, I think of my grandmother. I was so close to her, my little Scottish grandmother. She was adorable. I have two things of her.
From hers.
I have a ring and I have a teapot. That's it. Mm. I think about her every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I think when people understand that this stuff is just what we wear and what we use, if you think of stuff as a tool, all of a sudden you're like, it loses the chokehold it has on you. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, right, but I want to make the memories.
Right.
I want to have the experiences. I want my kids to know their grandparents. Mm. Like, you know.
And it also gives you more possibility to see your grandparents, because I feel like less stuff makes me more successful.
1,000%.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I feel like I make more money with less stuff.
Right, totally.
In my house.
Well, because you become
space. More space. Yes.
And you also become beholden to your stuff.
Right.
You have to store it, $1,000 a month, clean it, pay to get rid of it. Yeah. Like, it becomes a thing. You all find this super interesting. Clutter affects women more than men. So they've done studies of women in cluttered environments, and their cortisol is just jacked. They are like, puts them into fight or flight. And, you know, I don't know what that is exactly, why women more than men, but we are so affected by stuff.
And then you have children, and they bring so much stuff, and your cortisol is already high.
Yeah. So you're just a mess. They did another really interesting study, I think at Harvard, where they put people in a cluttered kitchen and they offered them a snack, a cookie or a carrot. Mm-hmm. In the cluttered kitchen, the majority of people took the cookie. They put people in an uncluttered kitchen, offered them a cookie and a carrot. They took the carrot.
That's Fascinating.
Because the core, and I don't know why, because the cortisol went up and sugar helps your dopamine and helps you regulate for a split second, not for a long time. Mm. And when you're stressed, that's why you go to sugar.
Exactly. And also added that clutter, every piece of clutter is a decision you have to make. So if you live in a cluttered house, do I want this? Do I keep this? Do I spend too much money on it? Am I ever going to use it? Where do I store it? If you live in a cluttered house, you are living in decision fatigue. Mm. You're making thousands of decisions every day. Will I ever wear this blouse again? So the less stuff, the less decisions. That's what it's about. It's not about and rainbow bits.
And more room for figuring out what to do with that podcast. Right? Or what to do with your, whatever it is, or how to write again, or create a TV, for me, like create a TV show, whatever it is, there's more space.
Right. So are you supposed to be looking at each individual item and saying, does this give me joy? Like, does this make me happy?
I think that's very oversimplified. Okay. I think that, you need a toilet plunger. Does it bring you joy? I guess when your toilet's clogged, you're like, yay!
So it does.
Yeah. I had a client once say to me, and you two will appreciate it. She goes, is guilt tinged sentimentality the same thing as joy? I was like, there you go. Do I use it? Okay. Do I need it? Okay. Right? Do I
love it?
Do I love it? That's one. We have things in our homes that we love just because we love them. Oh. Art on the walls. Do you need that art? No, but do you love to look at it? Yeah.
But what if you love a lot of clothes in your closet?
Like, would you grow to love it?
Exactly. You could be on the trek to love it.
Yeah. But I think it also, with clothes, it comes down to, do you feel beautiful in it?
Mm.
Do you wear it? You know, I'm a little ahead of you ladies, and you're going to head into something in a few years called menopause. Buckle up.
Man, a few years. I got a good 10 years. What are you talking about?
A lot of years. And what'll the weirdest thing that they sort of talk about menopausal weight gain, which I didn't have, but my body completely changed. Like my ribs spread. I don't understand.
Butt's looking a little different.
Yeah. And I'm the exact same weight I have been for 15 years. Mm-hmm. There's stuff I'm not going to fit into.
Right.
Gravity has taken hold.
It's never going to happen.
So you think don't hold on to those pieces where you're like, okay, if I, you know, kind of get a little healthier or my body changes, I'll be able to wear that.
But you're looking backwards.
Just wear the clothes that fit.
Wear the clothes that fit and make you feel comfortable. Because here's the thing. If you get back there, by the way, where's there that you're getting to, you're going to go and buy new stuff because you're going to be like, yay!
I'm going to get my tits out shirt on. Yeah.
Crop top summer! Yeah. And I don't want things in your house that make you feel bad. I don't want clothes in there that make you feel terrible. Oh, yeah. And look, there are, you know, post-pregnancy. I mean, we deal with that all the time. Like, what is your body going to look like after that?
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't want things in your closet that make you feel bad.
So those things for me are lingerie. I have all this lingerie that I used to spend agent provocateur.
Yeah.
That I spent before I had kids. Uh-huh. And I'm probably 10 pounds.
And when was the last time you wore that?
Last week. wait. But when we're talking about, I didn't feel good because it did not fit, really. It really didn't fit. My husband didn't care that it didn't fit. I cared. Like one boob was like falling out and then the other boob like underneath it was falling
like
out.
Like,
it wasn't a G-string, but it kind of turned into a G-string. Because it was just so small.
Yeah. Why do we do that? That we
I did wear it though because
fit.
I was like, this is so expensive. Yeah. I have to wear it.
Yes.
I felt just so terrible. And I'm like, but you know, I'll never be able to really fit into it the way that I did because my hips are even if I lost weight or get whatever it was, my hips are different. My stomach's had two 10-pound babies.
Yeah.
Like, it's never going to be like that. My hips will never just get bones.
Is not
move in.
And that is not a failure.
Uh-huh. No.
That is not a failure. And we are set up to believe that because we weren't how we were, like, people are like, I can fit into everything I wore in high school. And I'm like, so you haven't evolved at all?
Right.
Like, I don't know why that's a badge of honor.
Right.
Right? Like, you've lived a life. You've birthed babies.
Yeah.
As women,
you can't sell it though, because I mean,
you can't.
This was $300 for this little bralette, and I can't sell it, but I can't wear it.
Right.
So I'm mad that there's $300 sitting right here, and I can't do anything with it. So just keep it.
Yeah. But and then what's gonna happen is you're gonna keep it, and the elastic's gonna disintegrate, and then it's gonna fall apart, and you're gonna go, why did I do that?
But
in
we
the first
still
place?
Try to fit ourselves in it. That's the thing too. I still try to wear clothes that don't fit. I'm like, but why? It just doesn't make sense.
I I was telling Roxy, I got married in March for the first time. Right. It was great. And I did the like dream. A girlfriend of mine gifted me someone to help me. And I went to New York and I shopped for the wedding dress and I got all the wedding weekend clothes. And it was great. I bought things. So I bought, I don't know, three outfits, a wedding dress, the reception thing. I bought things. I am not exaggerating. From a size 2 to a size 12. Sizes mean nothing.
Yeah.
Things were, some designers were a 2, some were a 12.
I don't think about sizes.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're wearing things that don't fit, they don't fit. Doesn't matter. Like, oh, I want to get back to this size. Yeah. No, it doesn't fit you. You're not comfortable.
I know. Yeah.
So when you come to Nashville.
Yes. And then I go to Australia, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, you're like, well, we live half the time there too. And we're actually going to buy a place there so you can set us up.
Great.
And like, be like, I actually want to live in a house with. So when my husband's in our place now in Nashville, you honestly would think it was an Airbnb because there's like nothing anywhere. But he does put them in drawers. So like they are sort of stuffed in places. We do have a storage unit. But like, so what is the steps when someone hires you? Like, how does it go down? Is it just they find you and you show up and then you're just like, let's get rid of half your stuff? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, so they find me. I also have, at this point now, I have 10 organizers that work for me. Wow. So we can go anywhere. We travel. I have amazing people working for me. We come in, we evaluate, what's your goal? What do you want? And then we just pull it all out. We put like with like. So let's say we're doing a garage, sports equipment together, you know, sodas together, paper towels together, empty boxes together, empty boxes together. People keep keeping empty boxes and I don't know why. And then
old makeup, old lipstick.
Yeah. The closer makeup gets to your eye, the faster it goes bad.
Oh.
Wow.
That's like the makeup that you have to change the most.
Yeah, because it gets bacteria and then you can get eye infections.
I keep all that stuff. I keep all my lipsticks because I'm like, what if that
color
gets discontinued?
So there is a company called She Spoke Lipstick that will recreate your colors for you. They make custom colors, but they also, I had a Kevin Alcoin that I loved. I bought the last six, like scouring eBay. And then I went in with like it on the end of the, and they remade it for me.
Oh my God.
That is amazing. Genius. That's genius. That's a good company.
It's a good company. It's great because you know that, you know, you get to like, I don't change my lip. I'm in the plum family. I go a little bit darker. Right? A little bit lighter.
I'm in the fuchsia family. What family are you in?
I feel like I'm a red girl. I love red.
I'm a pink girl, right?
Pinky.
Definitely pink.
You like a bold lip.
I love a bold lip.
I do too. But someone once paid me out, which is like made fun of me for wearing like a fuchsia colored like lipstick because I'm like, you know, late 30s. And I, ever since then, I'm like, I'm always a little funny about wearing a fuchsia.
Really?
Lip.
What they said, like you were too old to be wearing that color?
Yeah, it was like, oh, you always wear like these fuchsia lip colors.
And what?
I don't know. Maybe it was my own trigger or whatever. Mm. But then I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't be.
Oh my God, all I want to be is an old lady who like wears like the craziest stuff. Like I can't wait.
Bright lipstick.
Yeah, I can't wait to be like 80 and just be like, I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
What do we do about those? Okay, I feel like everybody has this in their house, is a junk drawer.
Yeah.
The junk drawer or the junk closet. Like, they're just every, how do we even like start? Because it's like a bunch of random shit in one place, right?
But weirdly, like, it's handy. You're like, that's where I keep my tape measure. That's where I keep, you know. It goes back to decluttering and organizing are a regular practice. So 4 times a year. Do a big declutter. That's what I think. With the seasons.
4 times a year.
Do a big declutter. Okay. And then after you declutter, organize. Yeah. Organizing is like cleaning. It's not going to stay. You've got it. We all have this idea. I said it earlier that like you organize once and it stays. That's not how it works. Mm. People bring things in. People go into drawers. People don't put things back. Mm-hmm. So you have to constantly be organizing, which is great. What your husband does is great.
Right.
You know, for me, it's like I'll come home from a really hard job and I'll be like, I got to do my closet.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel better.
But wait, I don't know if we answered the question of like you come. So you and your team come in and they organize. They put like with like.
Yep. So we'll go. We'll pull everything out. We'll go through and then we'll walk through with you and be like, do you need this? Do you want
this? But what if someone like me was like,
I like it all.
Yes. I need this night, like 4 balls, soccer balls. What do you do with people like me?
And then we go,
you go, we can't help you.
I'm returning your money.
Goodbye. You know, we'll look I'm taking your money and walking away because you made me come all the way here and I cannot help you.
You know, we'll look at the soccer balls and I'll say, well, do you see this one? It's got a big crack down the side. The next time someone kicks it, it's going to go flat and it's not repairable. And you'll go, okay, I'll let go of that one.
Yeah, so okay,
yeah,
so
it's like very logical, right? It's okay. Not about, well, you have to throw it away. It's like, do you use it? Do you really use it? Mm. You know, well, I might. Historically, have you ever used it? You know, and then you start to see, when you start to let go, you're like, oh, right, I was attached. And I'm not sure, you know, that was based on, I don't want my kids to grow up or, you know, all the things. And then as you let go, as you start to unattach, as truly attachment works, then you set, you start to make space for what matters. All of a sudden you have room and it feels so good. You said it yourself. If your house isn't organized on Sunday, your Monday's screwed. And the best way, newsflash, the best way to be organized, have less stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense because once you clear out space, the universe also like listens and takes notice, and then you have
the universe abhors a vacuum. The universe abhors a vacuum; it will fill it. So also get clear about what you want it filled with.
And maybe if I get rid of half my wardrobe, I'd actually wear half of it.
Yes,
because it's just they're so close together, I can't really see them. I'm not dry cleaning them because it's like too much to even think about.
And you when you flip through the things that, like, if you have a closet full of things you don't wear, you're like, I don't wear that, I don't wear that. I don't know. You get so disheartened and you're like, and back to the laundry basket.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I know I wear.
I just had this huge epiphany that like massive epiphany. I think I don't throw away my expensive stuff because I fear, because I've always been in a very weird business where some years you make great money, other years you don't. What if I don't make enough money to buy something expensive again?
Your scarcity consciousness.
Yeah. Like, and I never thought I was because I really do believe in this, you know, the law of attraction and abundance. Mm-hmm. And I really try to practice that. But maybe I don't get rid of the tatty Chanel bag because I think, well, what if I can't buy it again?
Right. But what if you can't?
No.
I mean,
well, you said, what if I can't?
Yeah. No, I know. Right. But like, when you think that through, you're like, well, first of all, you've put yourself in scarcity
of
consciousness.
Of
and you're
course.
Like, well, I'm saying it's not going to happen.
Instead of just saying, I'll buy one some other time.
And then also, what is that messaging that, oh, my life only has value if I can buy a Chanel handbag?
I also lived for 16 years in Los Angeles, and there's a huge narrative here about, like, you buy things that you don't have money for the people that don't care about you.
Yeah.
But I spent so much money to impress people that I didn't care about and didn't care about me.
Yeah. I mean, I say in this book, LA is full of people who don't own the homes they live in, don't own the cars they drive, and those boobs aren't theirs.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and they're spending money they don't have because we're trying to fill something. Mm. We think something's missing. I call this a clutter magnet. Mm. And the way I describe it is this: if you have a little piece of your soul you think is missing, so I don't have enough self-respect, I don't have enough self-confidence, I don't have enough love, I don't have enough free time. And so we think that we're going to find an item and fill it, and it's going to make us whole. So when you're in LA, and I've lived here, I know that, like, if I drive the right car, then I'll get into the club.
The right school.
Or if I carry the right purse. And, you know, look, I love purses. I have a collection of vintage Gucci that I love. I carry them all the time because of the design. But it doesn't make people, it's not where your self-worth comes from. And we're so turned upside down that the stuff gives us our self-worth. You know what gives you self-worth? Being of service.
Yeah, that's so
helping
true.
Someone else. And then, great. And if you're living that way and you want a nice bag,
great.
Knock your socks off. Have what you want. But if you think the nice bag is going to fix you, if you think you're going to magnetize all that stuff with stuff, you're not.
Right.
And people, if it's not stuff, people do that with food too.
Of course.
Right?
It's like exactly.
The quick fix.
It's food and booze. It's the same.
Drugs, everything.
It's all the thing. It is. The stuff becomes a drug.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, let's wind it back. Let's find, is it meditation? Is it volunteering? Is it, like, back in therapy, like we're always a work in progress. What do we need to do to get right? And then the stuff's not going to matter so much.
When you come in and get rid of everything, can you also help people sell the stuff?
I don't sell. So I'm so glad you brought this up. It is a diminishing return. It's not worth you paying my time. You don't make enough money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If people want to do it, Facebook Marketplace, you know, I'm a big fan of the Buy Nothing groups. Mm. Put up on a Buy Nothing group. They're Facebook groups where people in neighborhoods exchange things they don't want. But what we do, my company, we work unbelievably hard to donate whatever we can.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's half my house. You can donate. Yeah.
So we work with smaller organizations, you know, everything, animal shelter to organizations that help kids who are aging out of the foster care system, senior, everything we can. We try and keep it out of the landfill and we donate it.
Because there's always a need. For these things, you know? And it's like you're saying, I think with the kids too, I like that, what you said about, you know, I know you've loved this toy for so long, but let's let another child love it. I think that's a great message.
And you're teaching empathy, right? You know, you're teaching that gratitude, you're teaching all these things. If you teach your kids to fetishize their stuff, you're going to raise consumers. Yeah. But if you teach them, stuff comes and it goes, it's stuff.
It's gratitude. Too. Yeah. And it's
Let's be better humans. Right,
particularly with everything happening in the world now. It's just let's be better humans. Let's be of service, right?
Yeah.
There's a little park near us that we hike. We walk around 4 times a week. And when we get to the end section, there's a tree. And in the tree, it's cut out a little bit. And there's toys in the tree. And the kids come. So every time I go with my kids, they bring a toy. And they give their toy. And then they take a toy.
Oh.
It's so cool. And there's always new toys there. And everyone just seems to know that you only take one and you only give one. You don't go take all the toys away. So the kids come and they bring their toys that they don't want and they swap it out for whatever's there. And it's
so cool.
And we do it 3 times a week.
Yeah.
You know, and except my eldest gives my youngest daughter's toys away. And Lennon's wait, there's two of my toys. And Phoenix is you don't want it. You don't use it.
I'm the eldest sister. Yeah. I understand that. I totally understand. I'm like, Mom, I gotta give something, but that kid, his stuff can go.
She's we'll just give her toys away.
We should start that in LA. Yeah. That would be a great thing.
You know,
the free libraries.
Yeah.
And and your kids participate in that, right? So if you have that conversation ahead of the holidays, a bunch of new stuff is coming in.
Right.
Let's let it go. And really framing the conversation about this isn't a punishment, right? We're so lucky. We have so much stuff. And there are people out there that don't, and you don't play with this.
This is really important. I'm really glad we did this show, and I know it took months.
Third time's a charm.
But I need you to come to Nashville.
I will come.
I'm gonna be talking to you. You're here,
based in LA, but we go everywhere.
Oh, that means I get you first.
She probably needs you a little more than I do. She doesn't have a husband who's decluttering every Sunday.
I'm a little concerned about her closet.
There's a lot going on in there.
She just puts stuffs it in there, but she always looks good. I don't know how she finds her clothes. Anyway.
Well, that's very sweet. But, you know, there's a method to the madness, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. She just looks clean. She knows where her shower is.
I do like to shower. Yeah. I just say.
So where can people find you? Yes. Tell everyone about your book and their services.
So my big platform's Instagram, @Tracy_McCubbin. Thanks, Instagram. And thanks that other person who took my handle.
Yeah. Oh, we get it.
You know, you're like, really? I got a little that. But Instagram, we do those decluttering challenges. It's fantastic. It's great. I'm also doing something really interesting I just started right now called Team Tracy. If you go to my Instagram link, you can see it, but I'm sending motivational texts. So a little video twice a week, and then a motivational, we tackle one thing, and then I answer people's direct questions because I'm sure as you guys, I get so many DMs. I can't even, so I'm answering people's questions. People are loving that. So that's in my bio, Team Tracy. And then the book is called Make Space for Happiness.
Make space for happiness.
It's
guys.
Available everywhere. If you have an Audible account, it's free. If you're trying not to have clutter, it's in most libraries in the United States, so it's great.
Get it, girl.
How long is the average time that you spend at someone's house? Is it really just dependent on how bad it is?
Usually, you know, kind of minimums 2 to 3 days, and then it can go up to a couple weeks.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they want to do the whole house and really get in there.
Okay. What's like the craziest story you've ever
got?
Tell us a crazy.
We did this house. We got a call. We work for a lot of realtors, and one thing we do is clean out houses after people have passed away. Mm. So this realtor we work with all the time called me. She's like, the woman was very old, went in her sleep, lovely. Mm. She didn't have any kids. Mm. The executor of the trust is older than she is and can't do any of this. Can you guys just come in and clean it out? And like one of her nieces or great nieces had stopped by to pick something up, and my guys pulled the headboard aside back. And there was a mummified cat on the wall, had fallen. And I think the lady just didn't hear or smell. And the niece was like, oh, that's where Fluffy went.
Oh, my goodness. At least it wasn't like the husband.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
My last question to you is, what is the one thing that people hold on to more than anything else?
Photos.
I was going to ask you about that. Can you declutter photos?
Yes, you can. It's very...
An iPhone photo. Is that the same thing?
Yeah. So, digital photos.
I have like 70,000 photos.
Yes. So my new hack, I got this from somebody on the talk, and it's absolutely amazing. You set a timer, you set an alarm. So I kind of do it at like 4 o'clock when I'm winding down from the day. And I go and I search this date, not the year, but October, whatever it is, in my iPhone, and then it pulls up all the photos from all that date going backwards. And I'm like, that's a picture of my parking space. I don't need that. Yeah. That's a label I had to magnify. Don't need that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you just go through and delete
That's
photos.
A great way to break it down and organize it. Because it's too overwhelming.
Yeah, cut clutter too.
Yeah. Because you get too overwhelmed looking at 70,000 pictures on your phone.
Yeah, but you just pick a date, and you do. I have to take pictures of labels all the time to magnify them, and I can't remember where I parked my car. And you just get rid of. I mean, I did it the other day for one day, and I got rid of 125 photos of like.
Oh, I sometimes get rid of thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like because like just for my work too, like even an ad, I'll have a gajillion
versions of it, right?
Yeah.
Like a ton of space it takes up too.
Yeah.
Videos, so I'll do big chunks. Everything. Okay. Yeah.
And move them. You know, the other thing, I mean, it's not technically decluttering, but you can just move them off and put them onto an external hard drive. I do think with digital content, it's cheap to keep it.
Yeah.
But you know, you open and like, can we talk emails?
Oh my God.
Give us the number. Give us the number.
Okay. I have
I don't even want to look
182,199.
Damn it.
Girl.
I know. What? How would you even tackle that?
I nuke my inbox every January 1st. I nuke my inbox.
182,199. At least my messages are only 340.
Your texts?
Yeah.
Do you have 340 unanswered texts?
Yeah, that's good though.
340 unanswered?
43.
Wait. Hold up.
But I get stuff like Dick's is having a sale for 50% off. Like I don't click on it.
Stop.
Yeah. But sometimes I want to know if they're having a sale. I have 738 voicemails.
I have 2 unanswered texts.
Well, okay, so you're doing better at certain things than I am, but you still have a back closet.
2,000 emails.
182.
Where do you even start with this? Like where
I mean,
is that taking up space
in your brain? Yes.
No, just in general, is it taking
up space? So one thing I started doing is I have a garbage email that I do all my shopping on.
Okay.
So I have that has 30,000 emails in it, and those are the sale ones.
Yeah.
And that I don't do any work on it. It's just what I shop on.
I need to give a new address because I give my other. But you see, I've had this email for 20 years. So that's 20 years of unopened it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to dance away.
Right.
I don't even get stressed by it because I just know, like, I'm not going to go through that. So.
I do. January 1st, I nuke my whole inbox. I highlight them all and delete them. If I haven't looked at them by then, if I haven't dealt with them by then, I don't need them.
But then someone will say, you didn't send me this email, blah, blah, blah. And I'll like be able to Google it. And I'll, yes, I did. 4.5 days ago, I sent this email.
But it's still in, you know, it's I just deleted it out of the inbox. It's still on the server.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it still? Yeah. It still lives there.
Yeah, it still lives there.
Oh, I didn't know that. But if you delete it, you delete it.
Yeah.
No, it never goes away.
Oh.
And but I do move things into folders. So when there's topics like or people, vendors I'm dealing with, I save all my import. I have everything. Yeah, yeah. I just had to deal with a legal thing where I was like, actually, on May 19th, da 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 da.
Yeah.
But I move it out.
You know what? That's a lot of things stress me out.
That one doesn't.
That's good. You know what I mean? I'd rather spend time decluttering my life.
Here's
my
the thing.
Stuff, my storage unit stresses me out. I'd rather deal with that.
If this doesn't stress you,
you're like, it's fine.
If this doesn't stress you out, don't spend the time. No, storage unit.
Not stress me out.
Coming to
but now it's going to stress me out. I haven't even looked at it ever until this end. I mean,
but maybe that's why there's 182,000 on
there. Well, now it's going to stress me out. Now I'm going to be stressed about it. I'm going to be thinking about it. Well,
sometimes when I'm on a plane and I'm like, and now because there's not that many movies coming out, you're like, I've seen everything. I will sort my inbox by sender and I'll be like, this many from this.
180,000 yeah, from you'd Roxy. Be, so.
Yeah,
I know. It's probably 180,000 from me.
When they say, like, do you want to delete this text message? Text chain is like 3 terabytes. It's from Roxy.
You're like, nope.
I'm like, no, I need all the proof I can get, all the horrible things she said to me over the years. If I ever need it.
You're like, I'm never going to have to bring it back again.
I have the receipts. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I know they have to probably go.
Thank you. Third time's a charm. I'm so glad we did that. I was so excited.
Come to Nashville.
Yes, we're coming to Nashville and then Australia.
And LA. Hello. Yeah,
I know. First stop. This is great.
Don't forget to rate, subscribe. Guys, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and comment. We are Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook. Women on Top Official on TikTok. And Women on Top on YouTube.
Woohoo! I am Tamin Zersog.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are talking to
Tracy McCubbin.
Yes, she will change your life. We are Women. On top!
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.